For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Keys, biblical keys for divine health tonight. And so let's get started in this. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that your will is for your people to be in divine health, to be strong, to be healed people. And we thank you for the salvation that's being provided by our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is a full salvation, a complete one. And Lord, we look to you in all areas, spirit, soul, and body, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're looking tonight at biblical keys for divine health. This is a very, very important area. It's obviously not taught very much, even by churches that profess to believe in healing. But certainly it is a faith doctrine. It's part of understanding our full salvation in Christ. So I'm going to go through four biblical keys tonight, and we're going to look at the scriptures so that you understand that it's not the word of a man, but it is in fact the very word of God. So the first biblical key that we're looking at tonight is understand that divine health is God's will. And we need to understand that this is not just some sort of theory, but it is in fact what God wants as his perfect will for his people. Let's have a look at Exodus 15 verse 26, and then we'll look also at Exodus 23 verse 25. Now, on the Victory Faith Centre website, there's a whole section on healing. At the end of this, I'll put up some references of some key sermons you could listen to, or some studies you could listen to from the Victory Faith Centre website. I encourage you to be hearing that type of thing and putting that type of thing into your heart, rather than putting various reports you can get right across the media even today. So it is very, very important for us to get the word of God engrafted in our heart. Exodus 15 verse 26 shows us the nature of our wonderful God. Verse 26, this is God, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." So here we see none of the diseases that Egypt, which is a type of the world, none of those diseases, but the Lord has said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee." So it's a very clear reference to the Lord who is our healer. Praise God. He is our healer. And we need to trust him, and also look at that first part of the verse there, which says that we need to diligently hearken to his voice. That means that you need to start to look into the word of God and make it a priority in your life, not just a theoretical, "Oh yes, that's the word of God," and you know, it's a nice thing. I do acknowledge that it's the word, but if it's the very word of God and you believe it to have power, then you need to make sure that you start to put priority onto it, have an attentive ear for it, and hearken to it, obey it, and so on. Also look at Exodus 23, verse 25. Let's look at this one. Exodus 23, verse 25. And it says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Okay, so if you're a servant of God, you qualify for this scripture to be fulfilled in your life, because it talks about blessing your bread and your water. "He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and he'll take sickness away from the midst of these. So clearly, God is a God of blessing, and we see that not only will he not put the diseases that have been judged to be put upon those who sin in the sin category, but he has made a decree and a statement that it's his will not to put those diseases on you, but to take sickness away from the midst of thee. So obviously health is more than just sickness, not being sick. Being healthy is having a strength associated with that health. There's people that can be not sick, but very weak. And so what we're looking at is believing God for strength as well. So he takes sickness from the midst of you, and we see that there is strength as well. Also have a look at 3 John 2. 3 John 2. So we're going to the New Testament now, and we see that the word health is used here. So it's good to put your eyes on these scriptures so that you are looking at them and understanding that the Word of God is saying these things. 3 John 2. says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So we see that the obviously the promises of God have conditions associated with them. We see prosperity of the soul, of which we've spoken and preached about much here at this church, is very, very important for you to prosper and be in health. Prosperity of the soul means that your mind is being renewed to the things of God. Your heart, your will, your emotions and your thinking are all starting to conform to the Word of God. And the Bible calls that sanctification and the washing of the water by the Word. Now, clearly, you have to put priority on the Word of God. Also look at Psalm 67, verse 2. So we're looking at biblical keys for divine health. The first key, understand that divine health is God's will. Psalm 67, verse 2. And in this scripture, we see that health and salvation go hand in hand. And so, you know, you might be sitting here and or listening to this, and you say, well, I believe what that's saying. And God can start to do something in you as you make that determination to believe his word. Psalm 67, verse 2, I'll read it out completely here, says that thy way... Well, let's have a look at verse 1 as well. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Now, that's important for understanding. God wants his saving health to be known among all nations, not just some, but all nations. His saving health. In other words, health is in salvation. He wants that to be known, praise the Lord. And of course it means that it needs to be preached and taught about, doesn't it? If we look at Galatians 3:13 and 14, look at this quickly. Galatians 3:13 and 14 is very clear that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, for example, is shown to be sickness. If you're redeemed from something, it means that you don't have to be a part of what you've been redeemed from. So Galatians 3, and I'll read it, verses 13 and 14, says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." And we have to understand that sickness and disease, infirmity, is all a part of that curse, being made a curse for us. He was our substitute. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And of course, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, leads you into all truth. And he's showing us even tonight about his health. There's a scripture there, 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, that you can look up yourself later on. John 10:10, Jesus makes a statement here, and we can see very clearly that being in the world, there are certain dangers that we're exposed to in the world. For example, there's the enemy, the devil. The devil uses various weapons such as fear to get entry into people. We see that in Job's life, he used the weapon of fear to get that hedge down, and then he was able to afflict him with sickness. So John 10:10 talks about the nature of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says there in John 10:10. Let me just get to this. And in this scripture, we see the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Obviously, that's devilish powers, devilish things there, and wants to take your health away, even to kill people, to destroy them, all of which is part of the curse. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. There's much we could speak about here, but we can see that God's will is for life to be in his people, and they have abundant life. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the second key number two, and that's glorify the word in your life. Glorify the word in your life. We just saw there before, understand that divine health is God's will. If you say, yes, Pastor, I agree and understand, I have a deep understanding now that divine health is God's will for me. Not just some airy, fairy type of concept, but it's actually God's will for me. The second key that we're looking at tonight is glorify the word in your life. You must see it as powerful to you. You must believe it, let it renew your mind, act on it, give it place in your life. Give it place in your life. Have a look at Proverbs 4 verse 22. This is a verse that we've often looked at in Proverbs 4, 22, but it's good for us once again to put our eyes on this, let it go into our hearts. We praise the Lord Jesus that we have the Word of God. Proverbs 4, 22, talking about the Word of God. If we look at verse 20, we'll start from verse 20 and go to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, here's a reality that we can put into practice in our life. If you attend to the Word of God, if you incline your ear to it, if you don't depart from it or from looking at it, and if you keep it in the midst of your heart, that Word, it's not just talking about healing scriptures here, but the Word of God will be life and health to all your flesh. Health to all your flesh. But, and I've seen it over the years, if people don't put the Word of God in a proper place in their life, so that they are attending to it, inclining their ear to it, but they let all types of other things get in the way, such as weeds and hardness and sin and so on, obviously the Word cannot take fruit in their life and produce what we see here, something that it can produce, which is health. If you look at Luke 4, verse 32, we're looking at the key, glorify the word in your life. Glorify the word in your life. So looking at Luke 4, Verse 32, Luke 4:32. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight that you can concentrate on this rather than on bad reports and fear and so on? So this is talking about the word of Jesus, and it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Now we have his word here, his word we have in written form. God wants us to get that into our heart and into our mouth. That's very clear from Romans 10, for example, and other scriptures, because it's power. His word was with power. That should be a revelation to you. If God's word is with power, it's something for you to put attention on, because it spiritually starts in the inner man, and then it will affect the outer man or the flesh. Praise the Lord. So look also at Luke 5 verse 1, and you can see Jesus did many miracles, and a lot of those were healing miracles, but the main thing was that they needed to hear his word and teaching first. And we see in Luke 5 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So we see that the crowds were pressing to hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, I'm not just talking about with your outer ears, but if you hear the word of God and glorify it, things can happen. Things can happen such as life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So we see here that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And this is this is something that really is what should be happening in the churches now. The people are pressing in to hear the word of God. I want to hear the word of God. I want to take myself away from hearing these other things at this stage. Hear the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 shows us what we really need to be doing in our lives. We see the Thessalonians did this in their lives. And so 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 is clearly how we should also be if we want the word of God to have free course in our life and in our church. 3 verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." So he's saying the word of the Lord is glorified. That's placed in an honourable position in people's lives. If it's not glorified, in other words, if it's belittled or put aside, then the word won't have free course. And that's what we see in our society, isn't it? Because the word of God, or the Bible, is put aside or belittled, and so on, it doesn't have free course in our society. But it shouldn't be amongst us. It should be glorified amongst us and have free course. And if it's glorified and you see it as a powerful word and you get it in your heart, you give attention to it, well, it's going to have an effect on your flesh. Praise the Lord. We saw health to all their flesh. Looking at the key number three is get your heart fixed on God. So some of these all intermesh together, but number three is a very important one in terms of what do we focus on in our life? Get your heart fixed on God, not circumstances or fearful reports. So see the word of God is powerful to you. Believe it, let it renew your mind, act on it, give it place in your life. Do not expose yourself to wrong thinking, bad reports and negative words. So don't expose yourself to wrong things. Fix yourself on God. And as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it's very, very important for us to get away from wrong thinking, bad reports and negative words. Look at Psalm 112. Look at verse 1 and then verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 112. So get your heart fixed on God, not circumstances or fearful reports. Psalm 112, looking at verse 1. Notice what it says. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." So here's the proper fear we should have. Reverence, respect, honour that is due to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, obviously. Proverbs 8 tells us that. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So there's blessing in this person's life. That delighteth, see, there's got to be a delight there. Delighteth greatly in his commandments, his word. Then look at verses 7 and 8. This is the bad type of fear that you don't want to have in your life. And that's what it says. He shall, this is talking about the person that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You see the difference? Your heart is fixed. Fixed means, if, for example, if you fix a nail into the wall and put a picture, a frame up on that nail, you don't expect that picture frame to be jumping onto the next wall. It's fixed to that wall, okay? So your attention should be fixed on the Lord, not on evil tidings. As it says there, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. There's many enemies of the Lord. We understand that our heart is to be established. He shall not be afraid. Is this God's will for us? It is. Fear gives an entry point into people's lives. You don't want that type of thing in your life. We're not going to look at it, but obviously in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, you can look at that. It talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's important for us to allow our minds to be stayed upon the Lord. Another scripture tells us that if we stay our minds on the Lord, we have perfect peace. We can have perfect peace. Glory to God. John 17:17, we won't turn to it, but you can look at it. It's in your notes there. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify means that you are set apart from the world, from evil tidings, from the fears and the evil things in the world, set apart unto God, unto the truth, by the truth of God. And it's important for us, very, very important for us to get our heart fixed on God. Also look at Job chapter 2, and in relation to Job, I encourage you to listen to the Resistance is Necessary sermon series, which has only just recently been preached. That'll be on the website with this particular one as well. So Resistance is Necessary talks about we cannot be passive in our Christian walk of faith. In Job 2, verses 6 and 7, we won't go through the story of Job, but we do know that he had a hedge around him. Satan couldn't get through that hedge. But when there was a break in the hedge, then the devil was able to get in and make him quite sick. Job 2, verses 6 and 7, that's what it says there. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. You might think, well, how is that possible when there was a hedge around him? Well, if you go to Job 3 verse 25, this is what Job said. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Okay, so we were told just before in Psalm 112 that we have to have our heart fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not allow fear to get into us, because it's one of the weapons of the devil, clearly. And you can see at the end of Job, I think it's Job 42, Job talks about he repents. But let's understand that fear is one of those weapons. And if you don't give heed to the evil tidings, you know, you're not afraid of them. You might actually hear them with your physical ears. You might even see them. But you don't allow it to get into your heart, because your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. God wants divine health for his people, but clearly it's not the will of the devil for that to be happening. He wants you to be cursed. He wants an entry into your life, because he wants to stop the people of God. He wants to stop them from being effective or a witness. This next area, key three. Now, this is a whole sermon in itself. In fact, I'm going to be doing shortly a PowerPoint related to our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But this one, the fourth key here, key four, is look after yourself. Look after yourself. We come against our own health by not looking after our spiritual inner man, our souls and our minds, and our bodies. In the bodily area, that includes not drinking alcohol, not smoking, not overeating. All are connected with sickness. That's just a reality. All of those areas and many others are connected with sickness and disease. And I'm not going to go into detail about that, but it's very clear that there is a biblical case to be made for us to look after ourselves. And so let's look at a few scriptures. First of all, John 5 verse 14. This is talking about the impotent man that Jesus healed. Impotent means, of course, he was paralyzed in some way. Was not able to move. Perhaps it was totally unable to move. But certainly, he had a major problem with his body. And Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him, praise the Lord. And John 5, verse 14, this is what Jesus said to him in John 5, 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Well, obviously he can go to the temple now. He could walk around, okay. Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So Jesus did associate sin and sickness, and he's clearly talking about not allowing sin or not sinning, lest things come to you that are part of the curse. And we understand that we should be, as we said before, sanctified through the truth of God, and that sanctification is a holiness process whereby we are thinking and are being conformed to the image of Christ and thinking along the mind of Christ and the mind of the Spirit. We have to be people that are guarding or keeping our hearts with all diligence. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us. As I said, we don't have a lot of time to go through all of these things. There's many, many scriptures I could go in relation to this fourth area, look after yourself. We're just going through a few. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. This is an absolute key scripture, particularly with reference to your body. Obviously, the heathen think that their body is their own. They can do with it as they like. They can put tattoos all over it. They can smoke and drink alcohol. In fact, alcohol is a huge problem in our society. They can do fornication. They can do all types of things. Actually, the Bible talks about fornication is very destructive to the body. I will talk about that when we come to the Temple of the Holy Ghost PowerPoint. We see here in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, why Christians should be looking after their body. And notice what it says. And you need to meditate on this scripture, because God will hold people to account about this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Do you understand that? You're not your own. All right. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's God apostrophe S, telling us that God owns your body, God owns your spirit. Obviously, we've been purchased with that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb. That, if I went through no other scriptures, that should be a big enough impetus for us, encouragement for us, exhortation for us to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And so we cannot be people that think, oh, the body means nothing whilst on the earth. Oh, we're spiritual. The body means nothing. I can eat what I like, do what I like with the body, smoke and drink do all types of wrong things, and it's fine. No, it's not. Regardless of what the trend is in some modernist so-called churches, it is not fine to do bad things with your body or to your body. It's not fine at all. We have to understand what the scriptures say. Also, look at Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. And this relates to a specific commandment of God with respect to ourselves as well. And so you need to look at what it's saying very clearly here. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 of Matthew 22. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. In other words, God wants you to love yourself in the right way. Okay, so that means that to honour God, you love Him with all your heart. You obey that first commandment. Another scripture says, with all your strength, with all your might. Okay, and as it says there, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and great commandment. The second is you love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, so that requires us to think a little bit. How do I want to treat my neighbour? Okay, do I want to poison my neighbour? Would I poison my neighbour? Okay, well then why would you do it to yourself? Would I do things to my neighbour which would harm them? Why would you do it to yourself? You know? Would I? And you've got to think about this. What would harm myself? If I'm going to treat my neighbour as myself, Why would I be doing things that harm myself if I don't want to harm my neighbour? This is part of the second commandment. And it says there in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So let me encourage you to think through that. So I'll just say out loud the four keys again. Number one, understand that the divine health is God's will. Number two, glorify the word in your life. Number three, get your heart fixed on God, not circumstances or fearful reports. Number four, look after yourself. And that includes your body. Praise the Lord. Because you can come against your own health if you don't look after yourself. Just some references here under sermons. I have preached biblical answers about healing. It's also a study. You can look at that. And also Resistance is Necessary, Parts 1 and 2. And Samantha Savage has also preached maintaining health in God. Praise the Lord. We want to maintain health in God. Well, let's